Hello and welcome to the Chair's Corner from the Department of Medicine at the University of North Carolina. Today's episode is part of our series focused on food allergy. In our most recent episode, we met with Dr. Scott Cummins, who discussed the whole concept of alpha-gal allergy. We welcome back to this podcast Dr. Scott Cummins. Today, we'll get to hear from one of his patients, Joanne Van Tile, who has alpha-gal allergy, and she'll be sharing her experience with us. Welcome, Joanne.
I'm very happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about who you are. What makes you tick, if I can use that word?
Good pun. I have been in North Carolina for almost 40 years now. I was a graduate student at UNC in comparative literature, and I was very surprisingly ended up teaching over at Duke, and I've been there for about 29 years.
You should know that there is a relationship between Dr. Van Tile and me. My father was a professor of comparative literature. That's why Joanne has pointed out that she is in comparative literature and was actually one of Dr. Van Tile's professors. So it's a small world in the southern part of heaven.
Indeed.
So you have had this allergy known as alpha-gal. Take us back to the time when you first had a problem, and what was that really like?
This was last October in 2016, and as you mentioned earlier when you spoke with Dr. Cummins, that I've been eating meat all my life, and in fact, up until the day that I first had this allergic reaction, I had eaten meat the night before, and the night before, and the night before, and for some reason, everything was fine in those days, but not on this one day. I had been up in Washington visiting, and on the way home, I stopped in Richmond to get some ribs that are really good, our favorite barbecue place in Richmond, and I'm bringing them home for a meal for my husband, my daughter, and myself.
You thought you were doing a
wonderful
thing.
Oh,
you were.
Yeah. Well, but I did eat a lot of junk food in the car on the way down, driving by myself. So by the time I got home, I had like two very small ribs, and my husband and daughter ate most of the rest of it. But I went to bed, and in the middle of the night, probably 2 o'clock, 2:30, something like that, I woke up just feeling nauseated, just feeling bad. And I lay there for quite a while trying to decide if I was imagining it, I was asleep. And finally, I do feel pretty bad. And I did feel, gastrointestinal distress is the polite word for it.
That's the non-polite. Were you nauseated?
I felt nauseated. I ended up in the bathroom. I had very bad diarrhea.
So it was really diarrhea?
Yes.
Suddenly?
Yeah. And I felt my face was flushed. I felt very hot. I literally had to lean over and rest my head on the toilet paper holder.
I was just exhausted.
Very sudden. And then I really wanted to lie down. So I just laid down on the bathroom floor and called for my husband. And he came in and, you can imagine his surprise. A minute or two later, I felt the itching on my hands and then on my feet and then all over. I looked around and it was everywhere.
The hives, right.
Just intense itching. So we decided it was time to go to an emergency room. So we went to the emergency room, a new one that was not crowded, which was wonderful. So they treated me for anaphylaxis, basically. They gave me some fluids. I don't think I took any Benadryl that evening at all. They gave me some, I think maybe two tablets or so, and then just observed me. And I was, after a while, I was fine.
What did they think it was due to? They said you had an allergic.
They had no idea.
So
they had no idea.
None at all.
And I had no idea because, well, anyway, actually, I'll explain that in a moment. They said, you need to go see your regular physician soon. So 2 days later, I was at my doctor's and explaining everything to her, what had happened. And I said, I can't imagine what I was allergic to. It's like I was allergic, but I didn't eat anything I've never eaten. I get bug bites all the time. I mean, it can't be ticks because I get tick bites all the time.
So
it can't be this. It can't be. And she said, hmm. And that was here at UNC. And she went over to her computer and looked some stuff up. And she said, there's a possibility that you might have this allergy. They call it alpha gal. She said, I've never diagnosed it, but I know where you can go and find out. So she referred me to Dr. Common's office. Unfortunately, it was a while before I got the appointment. It was a month about. But meanwhile, with that name, of course, I looked everything up on the internet, and it sounded like, yes, this is what it is. This is what it is. But a lot of unanswered questions, because I couldn't imagine why, you know, 4 nights in a row I had meat and this one time suddenly I have this reaction. So I can't really particularly remember a tick bite that was extra itchy or anything like that. There were some bites that are itchier than others, but I couldn't really identify which bite it might have been. I garden a lot. So you're
a gardener, and yes, that would have been the source,
yes,
of a tick bite, but could have been, as Dr. Cummins has suggested, could be anything. We don't know it's a tick. So is that, Dr. Cummins, a pretty typical story?
Although alpha-gal allergy doesn't appear in textbooks yet, that is the textbook scenario.
What does the word anaphylaxis mean? Dr. Van Tuyl just described the characteristics of it, but help us with what anaphylaxis really is.
It is typically thought of as an IgE or allergic immune response that causes one's allergy cells, and those are particularly mast, MAST cells, and basophils, to release their histamine and other cellular contents after a particular antigen, whether that's a protein or a carbohydrate or a fat, is recognized by that specific antibody. So if you're allergic to peanut, your body makes a very specific immune response to peanut, and when you see it, you react. For alpha-gal, these patients make a very specific response to that sugar.
Let's hone in on the issue of a reaction in which there are hives, and you can take some Benadryl, and she could have gone back to sleep. That's not what happened here. There was profound diarrhea. There was a lot of gastrointestinal distress, unable to get from the bathroom back to her bed, was lying on the floor, had to go to the emergency room, and I presume got lots of fluid in the emergency room. What is the trigger point of having hives that could respond to oral medication in contrast to what we just heard? What's the tip-off of this is an anaphylactic reaction and you're in trouble?
So we worry a lot about what we think of as two organ systems. So skin being one, if you just have hives, we think you don't necessarily need to rush off to the emergency department. That's probably handled, as you indicate, with an antihistamine. But once you start to get a second organ system, for Joanne, that would have been easily GI distress. So once your gastrointestinal system is now involved, you've got two organ systems. If you start to feel lightheaded, then your blood pressure is probably low. And so we think maybe your cardiovascular system, your heart and blood vessels are now involved. So anytime there's two systems, we really believe that that's the appropriate time to either go to the emergency department or call 911, activate the...
This is an emergency.
That's correct.
Flat out, unmitigated emergency. Now, in Dr. Van Tuyl's case, this was diarrhea first and hives later. which would have been much more, at least in her mind, this is a, I ate something.
Absolutely.
Not an allergy. I just ate a bad rib.
Yeah. And to be honest, we have patients who describe just gastrointestinal distress, severe, you know, they use the term hot poker, terrible gastrointestinal distress without hives or swelling or redness. And as you can imagine, making the diagnosis for those patients is really challenging.
So then you went to see Dr. Cummins and you had this blood test.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What did you think of this blood test and what did it mean to you?
I was pretty sure that I had this before I even walked into his office from my reading some of his articles online and other general descriptions. I would caution anybody against reading everything there is on the internet about alpha-gal.
Terrifying.
Yeah. You know, medical journal articles, things like that, reputable sources, that's good. I didn't really know what to think, and I had a million questions about, you know, will this last forever? I can tell you that once, when I learned about it, I was surprised at myself. I was upset, of course, about not eating red meat anymore, but maybe it's because I'm 65 years old, I just thought, you know, there are a lot of worse things in the world. In fact, even allergy. I mean, having a reaction to gluten, for example, I think would impact my life a lot more seriously than the alpha-gal has.
Can you eat ice cream?
Very interesting question. I have not had a traditional super fatty big bowl of ice cream, which, trust me, I love and would love to have, but I have
so
had...
So you stayed away.
I have stayed away. I've had other kinds of ice cream, soy-based or cashew milk-based. Pretty tasty, actually. I have had a couple of bites or spoonsful of regular creamy ice cream, but nothing untoward there.
And you've stayed away from beef, pork, and lamb.
Yes, yes. I made a couple of mistakes. I've intentionally stayed away from it, but there was one time when we grilled sausages, and my husband wanted a traditional pork sausage, and I was having a chicken sausage. And anyway, he's normally quite meticulous about keeping things separate and organized and everything, but for some reason this time it did not happen, and I was very hungry. And I said, well, which one is which? And he kind of looked at me like, oh, no, I don't remember. And I said, well, no, I'm sure it's this. I'm sure this is the chicken. And I just, you know, cut it up. I didn't even think to look at the color of the meat. I just ate a bite.
You were a hungry person.
Yeah, and it tasted really good. And I realized something was wrong because, I mean, the chicken sausages are great. I have no problem with them. But this was something very special, and I was like, oh, dear.
Did you take Benadryl right away?
I did. I took two Benadryl, and
so
nothing happened.
You knew you hadn't made a mistake.
Yeah.
You took Benadryl and solved it really quickly.
Yeah.
Prophylactically.
Yeah. Had no issue whatsoever after that. Oh, one other time we had subs, and my husband and I had a turkey sub, and my daughter had Italian, so it had all kinds of meat in it. And anyway, long story short is I took a bite of her sub. And that night, I woke up itching and not too much intestinal distress. But by then, I had an EpiPen. You know, I'd been prescribed an EpiPen. And I had the itching. And I, even though it didn't seem like it was an emergency, I kept hearing both Dr. Cummins and my regular physician who said, don't stop and think about it. And especially if there are two things, you go to the emergency room. Something might change quickly. So the problem is one of the things to look out for was like, well, are you clearing your throat a lot? Right. Or are you having a problem breathing? Well, just wondering and thinking about this makes me kind of anxious.
Sure,
and sort of clear my throat. And, you know, so I didn't know, but I thought, okay, I'm just going to believe what they told me. And just when in doubt, go. So we went this time to a crowded emergency room, and they wanted to observe me for 4 hours. And so we were there, but nothing else happened. I was fine. I just had a little bit of the rash. And I eventually figured out that it was from that sub.
What tips would you tell somebody who's first experiencing this?
Well, I've already mentioned, I think you need to be cautious about what you read on the internet. You discussed this in the earlier podcast about various rumors that, oh, it's okay to eat beef, but not to eat pork, or it's okay, you know, some people do one. Maybe for some other reason, they're having some other experience. I don't know where those are coming from. But my biggest tip is to listen. I don't know. And I don't normally say these things because for most of my life, I really did not like doctors. But that's a family thing. But listen to what your doctor says, because I found that the advice and information that I've gotten from Dr. Commons has calmed me down a lot. I'm not panicked about going into a restaurant. I just order smart. You know, I know I cook a lot, so I know, tend to know what kinds of ingredients, you know, I'm not going to order pea soup because it'll probably have ham bone in there. And I almost ate some beans from somewhere that my daughter handed me. Hey, do you want some? And oh, wait, no, sorry. But I'd say that's the main thing, is listening to them and get perspective on it. I mean, it really isn't the worst thing in the world. And who knows, maybe it'll go away at some point.
When you go to a restaurant, do you say to the wait person, I have a meat allergy, or do you just carefully order?
If I'm interested in something that I think has any chance of having a meat product in it, then I ask them. I ask if there's any kind of beef product. Was beef broth used in this, or mm-hmm. bones, or anything like that? Normally, I don't have to do that. I'm fine with chicken and fish. I'd like to add, actually, emu, which is quite delicious, and it does taste a lot like beef.
That's right, and we're fortunate there are emu farms in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's the meat. The color of the meat is even deeper red than beef is.
So you can trick yourself into thinking that you're eating
beef. And you can make burgers and all kinds of things. And so one of the foods I have most missed. I was diagnosed in October, and it doesn't really get cold in North Carolina it's sort of cold until November, pretty much.
Right.
And usually when it gets cold, I make beef stew. It's just one of my favorite things.
So now it's emu stew.
Well, it's going to be. Last year, it was really, really a sad day when I was like, man, I can't make beef stew. Likewise, on St. Patrick's Day, I like making corned beef and cabbage and the trimmings. And there is no substitute for corned beef. I mean, ain't going to happen. I don't think emu is going to do that even. But anyway, this winter, I look forward to trying the emu for the beef stew.
When you tell people that you have a meat allergy, do they look at you askance, or do they?
Yeah, usually. I just told somebody last night, an old friend of mine, and she said, what? I didn't think people were ever allergic to meat. So you get that sometimes. So some people have a preconception that nobody's allergic to meat. And then some people just, really? Why? You know, they don't know. And then because I live in a university town and because we have a local superstar of the alpha-gal issue, more people around this area know about it. And so once in a while I say, oh, yeah, I heard an interview. I heard a report about that. I read an article. So I'd say most often it's just, oh, really? What? Why? How did that happen? When did you get it? That kind of thing.
Thank you, Joanne, for sharing your story with us today.
I'm very happy to. Thank you.
It was really a classic story for people to understand and listen to. And thanks so much to our listeners for tuning in. If you enjoy this series, you can subscribe to the Chair's Corner on iTunes or like us on Facebook. Thanks so much.